It is time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
And greetings to the saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel this July 3rd, 2008. We have a very informative interview for you. We're going to get right to it. I want to make sure we get all the information that this man has accumulated out there to you. Jesus Christ told us that the Pharisees, that he referred to as serpents, sons of hell, took the kingdom by force. That force are the dark forces of Ephesians 6, 12, and 13, believe it or not. And in January, February of 2008, I was privileged to baptize this man. He flew all the way out from the Washington, D.C. area to the La Porte Church of Christ. And afterwards, we had him give us a lecture, which we videotaped. And we intend to put that videotape lecture so you can see what he's going to be telling you in this broadcast at our SFAWBN Internet TV website. Once we get that up and going, I'll announce that down the road. But right now I want to get to our guest. We're going to keep him anonymous and simply call him Adam. That is his name. And Adam, tell us what you discovered as you listened to these broadcasts and started looking there in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me give you a brief synopsis of what this is all about. Using the street patterns, buildings, monuments, and circles in Washington, D.C., there's an amalgamation of symbols, some occult, that form various geometric shapes, from the five-pointed star, which most people are familiar with, to a heptagon, and to the Great Pyramid itself, and much more. The combination of these various geometric shapes create a morphic resonance that I believe influences our perceptions of reality by stimulating the pineal gland in our brain. As an example of morphic resonance, there was a scientist named Rupert Sheldrake. He wrote a book, The Presence of the Past, Morphic Resonance and the Habits of Nature, for those who aren't familiar with the term morphic resonance. Upon discovering this, it's almost what they've done. They put everything literally right under our noses. It's like a cosmic joke. They're mocking us. They're telling us what they're doing to us, thinking we're so stupid we'll never figure it out. Well, I have, or God has, and he's just using me as an instrument to reveal this to. And then coming in contact with your ministry, it was easy to put the one-on-one together, or one-on-one together to get two with the anointing oil and with what I found in Washington. Do you have any questions?
No, I thought what I would do, Adam, is just kind of open the gate and let you run.
All right.
As you go, if I get questions, I'm going to write them down. I want you to give the whole lecture to my audience, if that would be a feasible format for you.
That sounds fine. Okay. We'll start out with what's most recognizable in Washington. When you look at a map, the first thing you see is that five-pointed star in the middle. Everybody's aware of that star. And that star was called the Egyptian Shah star, S-H-A. And the Egyptians believed that if you carved an image of a celestial body above on the earth below, you would create, best way to describe it in today's parlance, you would download the energies from that image to the plane of existence you're on. And you could absorb those energies to empower yourself. The Babylonians would bake cakes in the form of five-pointed star to their goddess Ishtar. And Eve, well, we all know what Eve did. Eve ate from the tree of knowledge. She ate an apple. If you cut an apple in half, what's most interesting, the seed pattern is of a five-pointed star. She ate from the tree of knowledge. So this is knowledge that we're not supposed to have. And it says in Exodus 20, verse 4, you must not make for yourself a carved image or form like anything that is in the heavens above, or that is on the earth underneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them, nor be induced to serve them. Now, I know that the other day you had a Satanist that was baptized in your church.
Yes.
And did he talk to you about the ritual of the pentagram?
No, we never went into any details like that.
Okay. Well, as we know, there's a pentagram in Washington, D.C. There was a book by Israel Regardi, who was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, the Satanist. Regardi wrote the book The Golden Dawn. In The Golden Dawn, there's called a ritual of the pentagram. And if you go in one direction, you're evoking spirits. If you're going in another direction, you're banishing them. So this may sound strange for some people, but the star that's in Washington, D.C., the traffic is going in one direction, and the traffic is going in another direction. So by default, without your knowing it, you're participating in a cult ritual. And all roads are tied to the zero-mile marker, which is by the ellipse in Washington, D.C. And that zero-mile marker is where all roads are marked, their distances are marked from. So by default, all roads are tied. All roads in the United States are tied to that five-pointed star, and you're participating in an occult ritual. This sounds strange, I know, just by driving in a car, because civilization in and of itself is satanic. When Adam and Eve existed, there were no condominiums. There were no IRAs. Your IRA plan was God. He was your retirement fund. So it just shows you the depth of deception that we're in. And you have preached, Pastor, do not be deceived. We are so deceived. The next image that's a little more hidden, but once I point it out to you, I think you'll find it. You'll see it right away. If you go on a map and look at Washington, D.C., you go to Columbus Circle, which is near Union Station.
Adam, I'd like to interject something here so my audience understands that as he describes the five-pointed star, he's talking about how the streets are laid out there. I didn't know if my audience kind of caught that.
Oh, okay.
Out.
Yes.
And I've driven there in D.C., and it's the most, at the time, years gone by, I thought, who in the world ever designed this town? It is insane.
It's insane. But it's insane because there's a reason to the insanity behind it, and it's a cult. And it's about bringing the celestial energies down to a terrestrial plane in order to manipulate them and enslave us.
Okay, go on. I just want to put that in there.
And that five-pointed star relates, I don't know if I said this earlier, but it relates to the planet Venus and the rhythm of Venus as it goes through the heavens. If you were to watch it, it creates each point. It's 5 points, and you can draw a five-pointed star within those points. And it's interesting. This is something that will occur later. For Venus to travel from one point to another point takes 584 days. 584 divided by one solar year, 365 days, is 1.6, or phi. This number, 1.6, is very important in all of this, and it constantly comes up within the symbolism in streets of Washington, D.C. But going back to the solar symbolism, if you go to Union Station, you look at the street patterns around Union Station, Columbus Circle, it's unmistakable you see a sun. And Massachusetts Avenue goes from Columbus Circle, if you follow it all the way up north, it will come eventually to Observatory Circle, where the Vice President lives in. The Observatory Circle, if you look at it, if you measure it on a map, it's roughly about 2,000 feet across. It's probably, although I can't say for sure, 2,160 feet across, which is the moon is 2,160 miles across. So what they're doing alchemically, they're marrying the sun and the moon together, and there's a lot of meanings behind that. Sometimes it's looked upon as being your marrying conscious and unconscious mind becomes one, and that creates a doorway, an opening to a spiritual plane. But you can see, once it's pointed out, you can see the five-pointed star, which is Venus, you can see the sun, which is Columbus Circle, and then the lunar symbolism, which is Observatory Circle. From there, what's most interesting and what most people have no awareness of. When you think of Washington, D.C., one of the most outstanding monuments is the obelisk, the Washington Monument. And when you think of the obelisk, you think of ancient Egypt, but what most people don't realize, not only is the obelisk in Washington, but the Great Pyramid itself is in Washington, D.C. They've taken a three-dimensional object, such as the Great Pyramid, and they built it on a two-dimensional plane within the street patterns of Washington, D.C. Where this would begin would be First Street and Independence Avenue. And if you start there, if you draw a line on an angle of 51 degrees, you'll come to the Capitol Dome. Now, geometry teaches that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So this is just basic geometry. From the dome, that angle of 51 degrees, again, will take you to Mount Vernon Square. From Mount Vernon Square, you would end it at U Street and 16th Street. And right there, you have half the pyramid right there. 16th is the meridian of the pyramid, hence the name in Washington, D.C. of Meridian Hill Park, which has always been a controversy. People say that's not the meridian of Washington, D.C., and it's not. The meridian is a little bit west of that. It goes through Rock Creek Park, but now we know why it's called Meridian Hill Park, because it's the meridian of the Great Pyramid. Now, to get the other angle, it's pretty simple. You'll see New Hampshire Avenue if you begin at U Street, and then you go down south to DuPont Circle, to Washington Circle, then New Hampshire ends a little past Washington Circle, and then you just draw the line all the way down to where it would cross as Independence Avenue. You would take Independence and First Street and draw it all the way across. So the two will intersect, and where New Hampshire Avenue intersects with Independence Avenue, if you were to draw a line straight up, you'll go into that Observatory Circle, but on the way you should hit Potomac Street. But Potomac Street is just before 33rd Street. So if you look at it, you can see how this has been plotted out. First Street is Independence. The fourth point of the pyramid is Independence and First Street. The meridian is 16th Street. The last point is Potomac Street, or you could call it 32. So it's been plotted out on the map. That way you can see. It's plain to see. So do you have any questions from?
No, I'm just listening intently, okay. Trying to visualize this.
Okay. You're going to have to map.
Questions, I'll ask you as we go.
Okay. Then not only did they put the dimensions of the pyramid itself, they also put the internal structures of the pyramid, the descending passage, the ascending passage in the pyramids. If you go again to the Capitol Dome and you find Maryland Avenue, if you draw a line from the Capitol Dome down Maryland Avenue, that's the descending passage. It will come to the Jefferson Memorial, which is the subterranean chamber of the Great Pyramid. The ascending passage would be Pennsylvania Avenue straight up. It goes to the White House, would be the ascending passage. And then, interestingly enough, if you look on if you get a cutaway drawing of the Great Pyramid, you'll see the ascending passage. Underneath the ascending passage, there's like a little triangular area. Then comes a horizontal passage to the Queen's Chamber. Now, if you look at the map of Washington, D.C., you have Pennsylvania Avenue on that angle going to the White House, and underneath Pennsylvania Avenue is Federal Triangle, which most people are aware of. And then under Federal Triangle would be Constitution Avenue. And Constitution Avenue would be similar to the horizontal passage going to the Queen's Chamber. So it's if you do that, you should be able to find it, no problem. Just get a cutaway drawing of the Great Pyramid and the map of Washington, D.C., and it'll stand right out once you do that point. The next thing is that they all say Lafayette was chosen to lay out Washington, D.C., but
Lafayette. Lafayette.
Yeah, no, not Lafayette. L'Enfant.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I get confused, too. Yeah, it's L'Enfant was chosen to lay out Washington,
D.C. Well, who D. was he?
Lafayette?
No, Lafayette.
Oh, L'Enfant? Well, he was chosen because L'Enfant was knowledgeable about symbols. If you've ever heard of the Society of Cincinnati, The Society of Cincinnatus is a I can't really say. It might be a higher order than Freemasonry, but the Society of Cincinnatus goes all the way back to the Roman general Cincinnatus. And the city of Cincinnati gets its name. And to be a member of the Society of Cincinnatus, you have to be descended from a Revolutionary War officer, either American or German. Well, anyway, La Enfant designed their seal for that organization, and he was chosen to, like, because it was his symbols that are all laid out in Washington, D.C. So the next symbol, I think, will go to that most people are aware with.
A question. Who chose him?
That I don't know. I guess at that time it would probably have been a committee that chose him. I'm sure it was Washington, Jefferson. I'm sure they all had to deal with it, but I know he was chosen. I know he was part of it, and he never really got paid, and there was some bitterness there, but I haven't delved into all of that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The next thing that we'll talk about is the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, which is right in the middle of Washington, D.C. And, you know, we hear about separation of church and state. Well, in this case, there is not any separation of church and state when you're taking symbols such as the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, which comes from the Kabbalah, which comes from the book, the Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. I think when they mean separation of church and state, they actually mean separation of Christianity and state. Everything else is good. But anyway, to find the points for the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, you would start at 16th and U Street. From 16th and U Street, you would go to Logan Circle, which is the second point. From Logan Circle, the third point would be DuPont Circle. Then from DuPont Circle, the fourth point would be 13th and K Street. The fifth point would be 19th and K Street. The sixth point would be the White House. The seventh point would be 13th and E Street. The eighth point would be 19th and E Street. The ninth point would be your Jefferson Pier Stone, which most people aren't familiar with, but if you get a map that has all of the monuments of Washington, D.C., it'll show where it is, and it's very near the Washington Monument. And the tenth point again is the Jefferson Memorial. So we're within the streets of Washington, D.C., you have the Great Pyramid, and you have the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. From there, we go to another symbol that's not so familiar. If you're familiar with the geometry, in the terms of geometry, you'll be familiar. It's called the heptagon. The heptagon is a seven-sided figure. It's a very unusual figure. You don't see it a lot in nature. It doesn't come up too often. You'll see some some sheriff shields sometimes are of a heptagon. They have seven points to them. So the heptagon, the points for the heptagon start at Logan Circle, then goes to Scott Circle, DuPont Circle, Washington Circle, Mount Vernon Square, Jefferson Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, then the Hirshhorn Gallery of Art, which is the only point in all of this. But interestingly enough, the Hirshhorn Gallery of Art is on 7th Avenue. So you can see how they've plotted out and shown what they've done within the street patterns of Washington, D.C. A heptagon, a seven-sided figure, one of its points are right on 7th Avenue. If you go a little further up 7th Avenue, you'll come to the National Sculpture Gallery. If you go into the National Sculpture Gallery, there's a sculpture there by the name by Tony Smith, and the name is Moondog. If you look at that sculpture, you're like, what is this? It means absolutely nothing. But within that sculpture is the shape of a heptagon. So not only have they used the architecture, the street pattern, but also the art to encode what they've done throughout Washington, D.C. Another painting that's, you could probably just spend a whole show on that, that's very important to Washington, D.C., and the painting could be in no other city probably in the world, is the Sacrament of the Last Supper by Salvador Dali. Washington and that painting are intertwined. There's so much symbolism in that painting that correlates to Washington, D.C. Well, like I said, you could take an hour just discussing that. The next thing we'll go to, which is a little off track, there's a gentleman who was a Freemason by the name of Ken McGrath, but he wrote a very interesting book called The Secret Geometry of the Dollar Bill. And within the dollar bill, there's encoded a golden triangle. And within that golden triangle is a logarithmic spiral. Now, when I first saw it, I thought it was quite interesting. I didn't realize that it was going to pertain to Washington, D.C. also. But when I started looking at the lines that he had drawn of the logarithmic spiral within the golden triangle, I started looking at the map of Washington, D.C., and the two correlated. There is a golden spiral in Washington, D.C., and a golden triangle. The I for the golden spiral, logarithmic spiral. To get an idea of a logarithmic spiral, if you would take a nautilus shell, and if you were to cut it in half, you have that logarithmic spiral that starts at a point, then it, as it goes around, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And what kind of shell?
A chambered nautilus, I'm sorry. Fossils. You see a lot of them. They're sold.
Okay.
And that logarithmic spiral is a symbol of growth and regeneration. And that is incorporated right into the street pattern of Washington, D.C. at Washington Circle is the eye. They call it the eye of God, coming right at that point. Now, this is where, again, that number 1.6 that we were talking about comes in. Again, that number is so important. If you look at the 16th Street, you could look at that as being 1.6. The Washington Monument is 555 feet tall. In Alexandria, Virginia, you have the York Rite Temple of Freemasonry, which is 333 feet tall. If you divide 555 by 333, you get 1.6. If you, the base of the Washington Monument is 55 feet square, the capstone, I believe, was 3,300 pounds. But you can drop the zero, so 55 divided by 33, again, is 1.6. Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president. So they're constantly emphasizing this number 16 or 1.6, and there's a reason for that. And to give you an idea of the golden triangle, its dimensions, again, if you were to go to First Street and Independence, if you take First Street all the way up to P Street all the way over through Logan Circle, through DuPont Circle, all the way again back to that street, Potomac Street, or 32, you could say, but it's Potomac Street. And Potomac Street is in Georgetown. You take this Potomac Street down all the way to it would cross Independence Avenue. And that would be your golden triangle right there. And within that golden triangle is also, or our golden rectangle, within that golden rectangle is also a golden triangle. It's Pennsylvania Avenue, New Hampshire Avenue up to U Street, and then that pyramid line, U Street down to the Capitol Dome. And if you've ever been to D.C., there's a shopping area called the Golden Triangle. And it points within downtown Washington for shopping. But what they do, they tell us what they're doing to us, but in a way you don't realize what it is. It's like just under the threshold of your consciousness. From the golden triangle to the logarithmic spiral, we'll go to, it's called the square root of five symbol. And the square root of five symbol, it means the link between the world of spirit and the world of matter. There's a gentleman named Robert Lawlor, L-A-W-L-O-R, and his book is Sacred Geometry. And he goes into all this in vast detail, although it has nothing to do with Washington, D.C. But all the symbols are in that book and in Washington, D.C. And I'm losing my thought here.
Well, let's just
the square root of five symbol that we were talking about. I'm sorry. The square root of five symbol, the I for that is at DuPont Circle. Now, to draw that, you would go from DuPont Circle, New Hampshire Avenue to U Street going northeast, then U Street over to 19th. You just have the U Street stops before 19th, but you draw the line a little bit over, then 19th back to DuPont Circle, and then you have part of it. Then from DuPont Circle, again, you're going south, southwest, you're going south at this point, from DuPont Circle to 19th Street. From 19th, you go to L Street until it hits New Hampshire, then New Hampshire Avenue back up to DuPont Circle. And that's the symbol that's called the square root of 5, which is the link between the world of spirit and the world of matter. Now, what's most interesting about that, that's also related to the number 1.6. On New Hampshire Avenue, there's a Masonic lodge called the Eastern Star Lodge. The Eastern Star Lodge, they perform the ritual of that five-pointed star that I was talking about. You draw in one direction to banish spirits and another direction to evoke spirits. The address of that Masonic lodge is 1618 New Hampshire Avenue, or you could look at it as 1.618, C, the golden ratio, which is so important to this. And what I believe the golden ratio is and why it's called golden, the golden ratio is the link between time and space, the link between past and present. In quantum mechanics teaches that time relation among events is first constituted by the specific physical relations obtained between them. Now, we see in Washington, D.C., there's an obelisk and there's a pyramid. In ancient Egypt, there's an obelisk and a pyramid. The physical link between those two time frames is the obelisk and the pyramid. And by doing that, you've said many a times that we're under Egyptian bondage. Well, you're bringing up all that resonance, all that emotional, the thoughts, everything that existed in pharaonic Egypt, as far as mind is concerned, to this plane of existence, and sort of it's being downloaded to enslave us.
I could believe that. Even the mindset that had to exist among the enslaved Israelites exist among us today. It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. Yes, it is.
You know,
as another example of quantum mechanics would be the Lincoln and Kennedy assassination.
Well, before you get that, I wrote that down. I wanted you to cover that. But here's a thought that came to me this week, Adam, is that I was thinking about the parents of Adam, of Moses, and it says they hid their baby because there was a law throwing the baby into the river.
Yes.
Who do you think they were hiding that baby from?
From the government. What would be considered?
That's what everybody thinks, and that's partially right. But they were hiding it from their neighbors as well, because their neighbors would turn them in, and that's what they've done to the minds of our people.
Interesting, yes. If you have a gun, that's right, turn someone in.
Uh-huh. If you see them, if you suspect them of child abuse, whatever.
Abuse, turn them in.
It's that commie mindset where everybody spies on each other, and because they were throwing their babies to the River Nile, they figured they're going to have to throw yours to the River Nile. It's that Egyptian mindset. I just wanted to put that in there.
Well, you're correct. I mean, when you said repent from being deceived, sometimes I don't think we really realize how deceived we truly are.
I know.
The next symbol is a little more difficult.
Well, you were getting ready to talk about the present, Lincoln and Kennedy.
Yes, the Kennedy and Lincoln assassination. Again, the quantum mechanics teaches that time relation among events is first constituted by the physical relationships obtained between them. The physical relationship obtained between the Kennedy and Lincoln assassination is Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater. Kennedy was shot in a Ford Lincoln. So the second Lincoln was shot, Kennedy was dead. That's very strange, but you're dealing in quantum time. In quantum time, there is only past, there is only future. There is no present, and you link the two, and I believe it's the golden ratio is how they link it, and I think that might be encoded in Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, because that's one of the streets. There are three streets that were paramount in me finding all of this. It was Euclid Street, well, two streets, I should say, Euclid Street, Fuller Street, which I believe it was Buckminster Fuller, and Mozart Street, which I have not even looked into Mozart yet and all the symbolism there. But that's what quantum mechanics teaches, and I've lost my train of thought again. I think we covered that about Lincoln.
We're talking about all you've covered so far is one was shot in Ford's Theater, the other one shot in a Lincoln.
Well, Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater, and Kennedy was shot in a Ford Lincoln. So that was the physical relationship obtained between them.
There's a whole bunch of other similarities.
There's a whole bunch of others, yes. There's just so many similarities. It's beyond coincidence.
Yes,
so this is a form of, we would, a sorcery, in a sense. That's the best way to describe it. That's how the magic sorcery, they knew exactly what they were doing. And all the emotions that were, everybody remember, I was too young, but everybody remembers where they were that day Kennedy was shot.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and all that emotion that was spilled, that whole D.C. Washington complex is sort of like an attractor for that. And they feed off that. It empowers them. It creates that, what you were discussing, that beltway fever. It helps create that. So going on, the next symbol that most people are familiar with, although they won't be familiar with the term, it's called the Veshka Peshes, or the vessel of the fish. And if you see on the back of cars, you see a Jesus fish, they call it. If you take that and just hold it vertical, that's the vessel of the fish symbol, and it creates a geometric progression. Again, it's hard to explain without a visual, but that symbol, it looks like a football, is the best example, and it's created by the intersection of two circles. And that symbol is right over Washington, D.C. When you draw it using the points within Washington, the apex is at U Street, and the base of it is right at Independence Avenue, so it goes right over the White House. What that symbol represents, if you've ever studied it in sacred geometry, it's a door. It's a door to another realm. There's Carl Schwarzschild is his name. He was a theoretical astrophysicist. He did a diagram of a wormhole, and in the middle of that diagram, you see that that vessel of the fish symbol. So obviously, within D.C., they've created a porthole right out in the open to another world. This is difficult for most people to understand, but I think as we go a little further into this, Washington, D.C., it's just like Stonehenge. It's laid out. They say they don't know what Stonehenge is or does, but they do. They know exactly what it does. If you go to Maryland Avenue during the summer solstice, you get there before the sun rises, you will see the sun rising right up at Maryland Avenue. Maryland Avenue is aligned only towards the summer solstice, the market solstice. If you turn around, you see the Capitol Dome. And southwest of the Capitol Dome, you see the Washington Monument. So if you were in the Washington Monument during the summer solstice, you would see the sun rising over the Capitol Dome, just like at Stonehenge, you would see the sun rising over that heel stone. And the Druids were accused of performing human sacrifice at that moment. The sun was coming over that heel stone. So when that's performed, what you're doing, you're downloading three energies. You're downloading celestial energy from the sun, terrestrial energy from the earth, and then life force energy from the sacrifice of the victim. And what that does, that gives the magician, best way to describe it, it's like a chariot to another world, another dimension, and that portal, that door is open, and then his will can be manifested upon this plane of existence, on the physical plane, and it opens up a door to a spiritual plane where spiritual forces can come through. Does that... Any questions?
I'm really locked into what you're saying there. Very interesting. And go on. It's what's interesting to me, Adam, is how this ties into this very week's broadcasting. The Lord has brought me over on the subject of magic and miracles, and James and Jambres that Paul talked about, the magicians of Egypt. And I wasn't planning on going that way. It's just like the wind, the Spirit took me that way. And here you are giving confirmation what I've been all of a sudden seeing this week.
When you talk about spirit, this thing, when I found this, when this was all opened up to me, I mean, as being a listener of your radio program and you preaching about baptism, at that point I knew I had no excuse. This, I was supposed to take these out to you and be baptized and then take it from that point, and it's led us to where we are today. So I can see the importance
Yes. And by the way, we've got about 18 minutes, so keep on rolling.
Okay. The next thing we should go into, again, going back to the Washington Monument, how they encode things. I mean, it's almost like Washington, D.C. is one great big cryptogram. It's a puzzle that incorporates the monuments, the street patterns, the street names, the art, the history, and it's a matter of decoding it to get to some idea of the truth, if that even exists there. But going back to the Washington Monument, if you take the Washington Monument, the height, which is 555 feet tall, and take its square root comes to 23.5. And that number emphasizes the summer solstice and the winter solstice. So they used the idea of this being a monument to George Washington, when really the monuments really have nothing to do with the people. This is a technology that's sort of downloading your life force energy. If you remember the 60s, all the demonstrations that happened in the 60s that went on, and everybody would go to Washington, D.C. and demonstrate, and
they would fill that park out there, the Washington.
They would fill, yeah. It was filled up. Well, unbeknownst to them, they wanted you to come. They needed you to come, because what you were doing, you were giving them tremendous power, because that whole system of symbols in Washington, D.C. was downloading your life force energy, and has been used against us since, as you can see what's happened to our society. The next thing is something I came across, which is quite interesting. It was when I was, it's called the electronic structure of graphite. If you take a graphite atom and shoot a laser beam into it, it creates a pattern, an electrical pulse. If you look at that electrical pulse, mimics exactly the street pattern of Washington, D.C. as concerns DuPont Circle, Logan Circle, Washington Circle, and Mount Vernon Square. It's almost as if they took that understanding of the atom and laid out the street pattern according to that atom. And what did in Exodus 20, verse 4, what it says, when it says, you must not make for yourself a carved image or a form like anything that is in the heavens above or that is on the earth underneath. When God is talking about the earth underneath, that he's talking about atomic particles, because obviously you can't make an image of something underneath the earth. You can't see it. But we can see through microscopes atomic structure. And probably, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The science we have today has been here before. There's nothing new. Look what the Egyptians did. The Egyptians did things that, you know, we say we can't do today. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. I don't know. But it's quite interesting. Did you want to talk about the anointing? And
yes, I did. You made these discoveries, and then you heard about the anointing oil. Tell them what you did.
Well, I made the discovery, yes, and then heard about the new anointing oil, and it was pretty easy to put one and one together. From that point, then I knew I had to be baptized. I knew I had to take communion in order to use it. So I did those two things, and then pretty much you can't drive too far nor walk too far without coming across something in Washington, D.C. that hasn't been anointed. And two things that are pretty interesting. The boundaries.
What do you mean, hasn't been anointed?
That I haven't put anointing oil.
I see. That you haven't. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Or God hasn't, I should say. I'm nothing more than just a light switch.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were referring to the Masons or who you're referring to. So
go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm nothing more than just a light switch. When you turn a light switch on, you don't think two things about it. What you're concerned about is light, and Christ is the light of truth.
Amen.
So all glory goes to him.
Amen.
Okay. So the two things that were interesting to me when I went to go to Jones Point. Jones Point is in Alexandria, Virginia. Alexandria, Virginia was the original site for the first boundary stone. Now, the original stone was supposedly lost. 3 years after it was laid, they took it up, and it was supposedly lost. So I don't know. I don't think so. It's probably still in Washington somewhere. But anyway, the day I went there was a very cloudy day. It looked like it was going to pour down raining at any minute. And it was just very cloudy, very dark. But I went when I went to go anoint that stone, and the Jones Point is right on the Potomac River. It's very picturesque. It's a little park there. The stone is encased within a seawall. There's a lighthouse there. So I went to go anoint the stone, and I was walking through the park. The clouds parted, and just like you see in a classic painting, a beam of light came down. So the symbolism wasn't lost on me. So it's as if the Spirit of God was coming down and saying, you've done the right thing. The next thing I did, and I hesitate to say this, but was at the Capitol Dome. If you've ever been to the U.S. Capitol, if you've been to the U.S., I was there during the week. When you're there during the week, it's very busy. The senators are coming and going, and pagers are coming and going, and they're going from one committee to another committee, and that center section is cordoned off. And over the center section, right under the very center of the dome where the Statue of Freedom is, there's a small white, I'm not sure if it's marble, but that's marking the center of the center point of the dome. Well, I anointed that. I got a chance and I anointed that. It was a little scary. People are all around, but...
Well, unless they've been there, I know a fellow that anointed the one corner of that building, and there's armed guards and military paraphernalia. It's hard to get there with a little bit of oil on your hands to anoint.
It's very tough, yeah, that because you're not supposed to carry any liquids in. Yeah, they go through, yeah. So you're taking a chance, but...
I think that they know about the oil.
Well, you know, that's quite interesting that you mention that, because recently I read an article in the Washington Post, and people were complaining about the security at the Pentagon for the 9/11 monument. And they were saying it's so tight, it's like, a monkey on your back. And I that thought occurred to me, because there's a fear there. So anyway, that center point was anointed, and what I thought afterwards, which was most interesting, you know, as the senators and congressmen and pages go from committee to committee, they're walking right over that center point. So they're picking up that resonance and carrying it all over the Capitol. So I guess time will tell. We'll see. But I thought that was quite interesting.
Praise Lord.
But all the circles have been anointed. I'm trying to think what hasn't been anointed. But everything that I could think of that had any importance has been anointed. All your monuments, your galleries.
Tell us about the one network that you anointed.
You can't get into NBC, the network, because there's a fence around it. You have to go through security. You can't just walk in. So it wasn't the building I anointed, but I had a little bit of oil left from anointing one day, and I poured a little bit of oil on that property and said a little prayer, and, well, did we see the result?
I think we did. Maybe we shouldn't even mention it, so.
Yeah, but I'll let you be the judge of that.
Right.
You know, that's up for each to decide on their own. So, any more questions?
How long did it take you to figure all this out? I mean, you've done a lot of study. You've been in the books on... Obviously, telling about Kabbalah and geometric patterns and...
Well, I've always had a passion for learning. God gave me a mind to learn. So I've always been interested. And when you start to go down, start to search for truth, you don't know where it's going to lead you.
Right.
And I see where it's led me. And how this began, how I saw it, there was a book by a gentleman named David Ovidson, whose the name of the book escapes me right now. And it was a very interesting book. It goes into all the symbolism of Federal Triangle and the stars that the city's aligned with, like the Capitol, the White House, and the Washington Monument are aligned with three stars, Arcturus, Spica, and Regalis. So that book was quite interesting to me, and I had the feeling that was there was more there. So really, it was by chance that I found this, but I had the book open one day, and there's a map in there of DC, of Washington, D.C. in 1792, and then I had a book open about the Great Pyramid. Sometimes I read a couple books at once. So, and it was a cutaway drawing of the Great Pyramid, and I started looking at one, and I started looking at another, and I started seeing the similarity. It was striking to me. And then from that point, I poured all over that map, and all these symbols started coming forth. And I know you've talked about many times, Pastor Peters, about you have to just sit there. You sit there and you drink a coffee and you think.
Right.
And that, I spend a lot of time doing that. You know, we get so caught up in this society on our weapons of mass distraction, is what I like to call them, the television, the sports, and all these things that keep you from looking at the world that you're living in and seeing what's happening to it and how it's just, it's collapsing before our eyes, but people are more interested in, you know, who won the horse race.
Have you thought about everything that you've presented, writing your own book and putting it with the pictures and the diagrams?
I've thought about that, yes. I would want to find, because there's a lot of photographs that go with this, and there's a lot more to it than I think we have time for in this program. But yes, I have, but I would want to find a publisher that I would think would be worthy of this. I know you had E. Raymond Capp. I know he just passed away.
Right.
And I thought about him because it was a couple of his books that I used as reference that helped me in this. So, but yes, I have. But that's a matter of something I have to pursue, because I believe it's a truth that is quite important, and a truth that people would be interested in to see how we've been deceived. Because if these symbols are in the street patterns of Washington, D.C., if they've done this without our knowledge, without not being in any of our history books, you have to ask yourself, why? What are they serving? And let me say one more thing that occurred to me. For the man's men that monitor these broadcasts, they know you know what's in the street pattern of Washington, D.C.
They know now.
They know now. So they're not going to trust you. So betray her before she betrays you, because she knows you know. Take the time to look at what at the street pattern in Washington, D.C., and what's there. And there's a whole reality to this world.
Yes, betray Babylon, because you might think you got security. You don't. Adam and I have security. When you have the Creator, the true Creator behind you, you're secure.
Amen.
The other thing's coming down on them.
Amen.
They've got the betrayer.
They've got to come out of her. What does it profit a man to win the world, but to lose his soul?
Yes, to gain the whole world and lose his own soul.
Right. Exactly.
We're going to probably replay this on the SFAWBN network. We'll have it web-sited archived there. And I have a feeling maybe we're about out of time. I have a feeling we're going to need to bring you back on and give people an opportunity to ask you questions. Would you be willing to do that some other time?
Yes, I would be willing to do that some other time. And there was a little more about this, the fish symbolism that kept popping up, which I believe has something to do with the Watchers. And let me say one more thing while we have time. Pastor Peters, thank you and for your ministry, because I could not have accomplished any of this without you also. Praise goes to Jesus Christ first,
Amen.
But you know, you should be given kudos, and those in your ministry should be given kudos for the things that they've done.
Well, those people out there that's made it possible for Pastor Peters to keep on going, they're the ones we're going to tip our hat to. We all then bow our knee to Jesus Christ. He's our King. He's making it come to pass.
Yes. When I say ministry, I mean everybody that supports mm-hmm. you also. And I'll
yes.
be sending my tithe in soon, so I'll be supporting you also. So thank you.
Thank you. You know, when you were writing, I wrote this down when you were speaking, I wrote this down. I wrote down the word giants. These are intellectual giants, aren't they?
That is an aptly described way to describe them. And there's, hold that thought, because there's something to that that I have to tell you about that. The giants, something I found in Washington, D.C., which, Well, hold that thought. We'll have to discuss that at another time.
Okay, we will have to because we're about out of time. Adam, I want to thank you for taking time all the time. I mean, this took a lot of your life, and then, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, he risked some things doing what he did. If you haven't been to D.C. and tried it, you don't know.
It's a fortress.
It's a fortress, and that's how tight it is. There's cameras everywhere.
Cameras everywhere. I mean, there's no way you can escape them. There's armed guards everywhere. The Capitol is just full. I can remember going into the Capitol as a child. You would just walk in. You could roam the whole Capitol freely.
Yeah,
that is done away with.
And there's Constantine wire around.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's like another world.
Because I believe, like I said, in quantum mechanics, they know the future. They're trying to protect themselves as best as they can. But no amount of force and no amount of arms is going to do anything for them.
Amen. Let's close in prayer together.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, that anointing oil, make it work. We claim it's working. We pray down with faith the working power of our God now. They've tapped into the forces of hell, and it's worked well for them. Let them see what really works, and we claim that working power through faith. We claim the name Lord Jesus Christ as we pray. And now we pray, do a mighty work to your praise and glory. Let not your people become a reproach, lest the heathen say, where is their God? So show them where our God is. Show them where our God is. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And I say for those that are in her, just like Adam said, come out of her. Betray her because she's coming down. The sorcery of Babylon's over with. Ceased. Hallelujah. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Pastor Peters, and your ministry.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And thank you. Thank those who support your ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
And good night, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, soon coming King. Hallelujah. Amen. Good night.
You have been listening to Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Should you want to write, the address is Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Our fax number is country code 01-307-745-5914. Again, that is Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Fax number 01-307-745-5914. When writing, please let us know on which broadcast frequency you received this program. Scriptures for America Worldwide is an evangelical ministry dedicated to proclaiming the correct gospel of the kingdom of Christ and to revealing to the world the true scriptural identity of the true covenant people. The Bible says, quote, creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God, end quote. This ministry is supported by tithes and free will offerings. Please pray for Scriptures for America Worldwide. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know, end quote. Modern Judeo-Christian preachers proclaim that our Heavenly Father loves all men equally, but that's totally false and foreign to the Word of God. And who are his true chosen ones, and who are the wicked imposters? Where does America fit in his grand design? To find out, send a $6 offering U.S. funds and ask for this invaluable pamphlet entitled The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. It just might open your eyes to some vast biblical truths hidden in plain sight. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. That's a $6 offering for the pamphlet The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Thank you.